like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet on the screen, but no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you? There's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July. 'Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go ah, ah, ah as you shoot across the sky.
Hey everybody, welcome. That was a little needed a little extra song to go get a drink here, and so that's our friend John Tron covering Katy Perry's Firework. Pretty great if you can look it up. It's got some animation and shit. We have an important topic to discuss today because there is a new Neil Breen movie in the works, although by in the works, I mean he's trying to fundraise for it. It's a movie called Twisted, and it's pretty great because he posted this video. He's like asking for help and talking about what it's going to be, and as somebody comments on the YouTube video, he forgets to post the link for the campaign. He puts Indiegogo on the title, even though this is a GoFundMe. He is truly a genius. Now, apparently, internet celebrity PewDiePie has somehow passed people on to Neil Breen, but, you know, I don't think we have a crossover audience somehow. So anyway, we're going to talk about, I just wanted to see what Neil has to say about his newest film. Now, I saw Fateful Findings in the theater. That was one of my first dates with Poon Master Flex, if not our first date. And we saw Pass Through on her birthday, which was not good, you guys. I mean, it's got some great parts, but it's no Fateful Findings. I'll tell you that right now. Lightning struck, and we got Fateful Findings. And then, you know, someone touched one of those crystal ball things that looks like it has purple lightning inside, and then we got Pass Through. Just not as inspirational. How about that? But Twisted, what is Twisted all about? Let's find out. Neil Breen, March 14th, 2017. He's got credits on here.
Hi, this is Neil Breen. I'm here on this glorious...
Now he's just sitting by, it looks like in a, if I had to guess, some sort of wealthy community area. There's like a big lake. There's a fence behind him. He's in a sweater. You know, he just looks exactly like he looks in the movie.
85 degree day. It's March 14th, 2000.
Extremely loud car goes by. Beautiful. Beautiful. Maybe this is why they do so much looping and fake dialogue in the movies, because they're like, oh, geez, there's just cars going by and shit. That's going to make it almost sound like a real spot.
17. And I'm here to thank everyone for the support of my past four films and tell you about my new 5th theatrical feature.
He says 5th theatrical feature and raises his one thumb like he's counting them off, but there's one.
First of all, the support for Pass Through and Fateful Findings, my most recent films, has been terrific, and I really do want to thank everybody. And
you're
in fact,
welcome.
They've both been theatrically profitable for me. So everything's...
Well, that's good. That's what I was concerned about. Is this been theatrically profitable? Thank God. So far, he hasn't said much about his artistic vision, but it's hard for me to imagine that Neil Breen is making these movies for profit, because that suggests a like mental instability that I can't understand fully. I understand Fateful Findings as a passion project, but I don't understand, or even a passion project on the level of, like, I feel like a Tommy Wiseau made The Room thinking he was making a great movie and would be a famous movie guy, which he sort of did and is. But it's hard for me to imagine that, and he's thinking, like, this is going to be a juggernaut. This is like the Independence Day of now.
Well, there. I'm now in pre-production for my fifth theatrical feature. The working title of it is going to be Twisted. That is not the title of the film, but it's a temporary title that I'm going to use.
Anyone want to make a $1,000 bet that that ends up being the actual title?
It is totally different from a stylistic cinematography point of view, as well as a content point of view. Unlike my other feature films, you will not see any deserts. You won't see any hackers or laptops.
Now he's kind of almost laughing about this. Like, he's like, oh, it's kind of funny that I did this, but this one's not going to have it. Now here's what excites me about it, right? He's like, I'm doing something very different. And I'm like, this opens up a door to have something really insane.
Purposely made it very different in that it's a dark psychological thriller. It will be shot half in Los Angeles and half in Southern Nevada. I am currently negotiating with two name feature film stars.
Now let's hold the phone right there. Take the phone. Don't put it back in the cradle, but do hold it and put your hand over the mouthpiece so Neil can't hear us. Two known name actors. Who could this possibly be? I mean, who could it be? That's what I want to know. I don't know if, like, this is a thing anymore, because I was once in the entertainment industry. I've never been in the entertainment industry, but I understood there's a lot of gossip about, you know, who's starring in what with who and all that kind of stuff. Is there a gossip rag that's like reporting on, you know, oh, so-and-so seen leaving a meeting with Neil Breen? Because if so, I want to know badly who that is. If I had to make some guesses, I would make some guesses along the lines of perhaps some, you know, I understand they're still making like Not Another Teen Movie and stuff. So somebody like in that realm, perhaps, maybe a Wayans. Could we get a Wayans in there? Or a, basically anyone who's played, you know, a version of Stifler, who's not the original guy from American Pie. Any of those guys would be great, I think. Or, you know, a third tier American Pie guy. Eugene Levy, I wouldn't put that off as an impossibility. Ideally, though, I would like to see a movie starring Nicolas Cage and Wesley Snipes. I just heard a thing and saw it's confirmed Wesley Snipes has written a thriller. So maybe that's how they crossed paths, right? Maybe Wesley Snipes is like, I'm in the world of thrillers. And Neil Breen is like, hey, me too. We have a lot of common, me and Snipes. That's my dream team. Other than that, maybe Nicolas Cage. I mean, that's an obvious. That's almost too much, though, right?
I am currently negotiating and speaking with documentary people who literally want to stay with me during the entire course of filming Twisted and create a documentary out of it.
Now, that is also great news, I think. As a fan of those things. So if you've ever seen Best Worst Movie, it's about sort of the making of Troll 2, and it's pretty incredible. Good movie. Also, there's a book called The Disaster Artist, which is about the making of The Room by one of the stars of The Room, which is a little... I don't fully believe everything the guy says because he sort of makes himself out to be this like very innocent whatever person. And I'm like, I think you knew what you were doing for money there. I don't think you were totally like, I had no idea the room was going to turn, you know, I don't know. And he was like crashing at Tommy Wiseau's house for free and stuff like that. Anyway, as a fan of those things, this could be pretty sweet. Although I do worry because sometimes it's like, when a Tommy Wiseau, for example, becomes too aware of how people are receiving his work, he starts saying like, oh, it was a joke all along. And you're like, no, it's not. But, you know, so I worry that Neil Breen's headed down that path. We need some way on the internet to sort of talk to each other and be like, let's not make a big thing out of this. Let's not turn this into some, let's not ruin this for ourselves, right? Because here would be the perfect thing. What you really want with like a Neil Breen is to discover these films 10 years after they were made and then discover this filmmaker and be like, my God, what was going on? What you don't really want is like for him to see what's going on and then start changing what he's doing in order to sort of, you know, it's like if in his new movie there was a detective whose like catchphrase was like, it's going to be a magical day. You don't want that. You don't want it to turn into Sharknado, right? You don't want it to be so self-aware.
Broadcast. Like I said earlier, the film is very different from the last four films, my last four theatrical features. That's very, very exciting to me. The script is virtually done, and I'm very, very excited about it. I've started, as some of you may know, I've self-funded my past four feature films. I have started a GoFundMe campaign for the new fifth film called Temporarily Twisted. So I'm really looking for all of your financial support for Twisted. I need your financial support. Unlike the past films, this film will be even bigger and better than the prior four films, both in scope and scale. And for the first time, I'm hoping to shoot Twisted completely at night, which I've never done before. It's not a film noir type of piece, but it's definitely a different look totally, stylistically and content-wise than anything I've done in the past. I do need your financial support. The more money I have, the bigger and better I can make it. Each one of my films has gotten progressively bigger and better.
Whoa. Well, I guess each one has gotten more, you know, bigger. Bigger is accurate. Better, let's not get crazy. I find it interesting that he is sort of, here's the big thing for him is like, it's going to be at night. Whoa. Well, I could see why you need money. I mean, I guess it probably costs more to shoot at night, but I also feel like, why? What? This is the big difference in the story you want to tell is you're like, it's got to happen at night. What is this, Dark City?
Thankful to everyone for their support of that. Anyway, that's really why I'm here, just to bring everybody up to date. Let you know about the GoFundMe campaign, which is starting very shortly. We will establish a target dollar amount for GoFundMe, but I'm looking to even go further beyond that. Because as you all know in the filmmaking community, the more money you have, the bigger and the better the film can be. And that's about it for right now. Thanks again for...
Yeah, if there's one lesson I've learned about movies, it's that the more budget, the better the movie. That seems to be a solid rule. If we look at, you know, everything. Fucking, oh God, what's that guy's name? Michael Bay or whatever. I mean, he's definitely only gotten better as his budgets have gotten bigger. Bigger, always better in movies. Not often that you see a nice little indie movie that's worth a shit, right? All right, let's see. Almost done here. We almost got this covered.
Past support, I look forward to your future support for the new fifth theatrical feature that I'm producing and directing in 2017. And like I said, it will be even more profitable than the prior two films. Thank you very much. Look forward to your support.
There we go. I did want to go to Neil Breen's page just to see. He's just got his trailers. That's about it, huh? It's only got like 4 uploads. I wanted to see, like, has he done, I mean, has he commented on anything? Has he do whatever? Yeah, a bunch of people here from PewDiePie. Great. That's great. See, this is the thing that ruins these things, right? Because then you have, you know, Lava Tarantula and stuff, these sci-fi movies that people make to sort of... I don't know how to describe this thing. This, like, where's the sweet spot? Because you want something that's shitty, but you don't want something that's trying to be shitty. Like, that's never as good. And you want something that's, I think what these lack, these movies that, like, your Sharknadoes, is, like, they have, like, a cynicism to it. You know, it's a wink and a nod, but that's not as fun. Like, that's not as exciting. You don't want... It needs to have, like, a sort of weird optimism, you know what I mean? It needs to have... The people who make it need to feel like what they're doing is, like, revolutionary and that they're doing something great. And then it's enjoyable on a sort of, I'll say, ironic level, even though I kind of hate that. I don't understand. There's this other, like, weird thing about, you know, enjoying things ironically, which I think is... People assume that you're kind of saying, like, that you're too cool for stuff or whatever. And I don't feel like that. I feel like you can enjoy Fateful Findings, I guess, not in the way it was intended to be enjoyed, which is, I think, what ironically means. But, I mean, it's hard not to. It's hard not to enjoy it. But what I enjoy about it, I think, is that there's such a, like, certainty that what they're doing is big and important. When you watch, like, a Sharknado... The thing is, like, yeah, this is really stupid, right? Like, they know it's stupid. So I don't like that. So his GoFundMe campaign, he's got $3,500 out of $50,000 in 4 days. So that's not bad. Also interesting that he's raising $50,000. Now, if my recollection is correct, I feel like Kevin Smith made Clerks for, like, $20,000. So, like, $50,000 is not, and that was in the early 90s, right? So $50,000 is not, like, a lot of money. I mean, it's hard for me to look at that and be like, Neil Breen is going to fuck us over, right? Because $50,000 is not a ton of money to make a film. I mean, that must just be the additional money he needs for night shooting. All I'm saying... Night shooting is that if we're getting Neil Breen in a fedora, that's a win. That is a winner, no matter how you slice it. So, I don't know. If you feel like donating, do it. Go for it. And it looks like he's getting some pretty good donations, too. I mean, Breen Boys Unite, I didn't know that was a thing. Anything entertaining is worth cherishing. Agreed. My favorite filmmaker. I look forward to every project. Another Breenius film. I don't like that. Fateful Findings was okay, I guess. Neil Breen loves his country. He is a national treasure. Now we're talking. Good enough. So there we go. We have something to look forward to. Now, when will this be done? Who knows? Let's switch over to this little thing. So I have a receipt here from last week, and I went into a Walgreens. Now, here's what happened. I had to get I was going to a housewarming party, and I had Jesus fucking Christ. I had purchased some gifts. You know, as a group, we purchased gifts, which meant I bought it and then got, you know, $15 back of the 50 or whatever. And so I needed to get, like, some wrapping shit for the gifts. And also was like, well, if this is a housewarming party, like, you never know. I knew there wasn't going to be a ton of people there, so I was like, sometimes it's fun. You go to, like, a Walgreens, and you get some... They have some crazy shit there. Like, they have this sharper image thing that's, like, you shoot Nerf darts at floating ping pong balls. And the Nerf gun doesn't work at all, but the ping pong balls do float. So that's fun. But anyway, you just get something like that, and then, you know, you've got a little extra... Little extra something for the party. You bring a little bit more fun, right? So I go in there. I'm looking around. I almost bought a thing that supposedly from the company Whammo, which brought us, you know, a bunch of crazy shit when we were kids, is a disc thing that turns into an air hockey puck. So basically, you could turn any flat surface into air hockey. Which I thought, this might be pretty sweet. And then I thought, well, what if her new house doesn't have, like, a countertop or something? I'm like, that's just going to be unfortunate. So I said, eh, fuck it. So what I got was, I'm going to read you everything on the receipt. I got a bag. I got tissue paper, right, to fill the bag. I bought the Game of Things, which is a card game. That's probably my favorite game. It's like Cards Against Humanity, except instead of choosing from cards you've got, you have to write in your own answer. So this is very fun because you can just answer, and also because you can just put weird shit in there, right? You could just put anything in there. If you're playing with Steve and John, you can just write in, this is Steve and this message is for John. John, thank you for that time you farted into a pill bottle, sealed it, and sent it to my house. And then I smelled it so much that I passed out. And then you just have, you know, your aunt reading that out loud. That's fun. So I bought that. And here's the last thing. Vaseline Lip Therapy. Two at $1.99 each. Now, these are like tiny little tubs of Vaseline. Like maybe the size of your thumb. And the reason being, you know, I've had some lip cracking problems and stuff. And so... and. Vaseline seems to work for me. I did quite a little bit of online searching, and there was a lot of speculation about these things. And so when I went to the dentist, I asked about it, and they were just like, just try a bunch of different things until you find one that works. Like, I guess when it comes to chapstick and stuff, most people eventually find one that works, and they don't necessarily work right away. You know, they'll try... whatever, chapstick, Carmex, nothing works, and then they try something else and it works. I tried Vaseline and it works. I thought that would be a great choice because it seemed to be pretty serious, and also there wasn't a bunch of shit in there besides the stuff. So I get these two little tubs of Vaseline. I've got my bag, my tissue paper, and my Game of Things, and I go up to the checkout desk. And they're working the checkout is a lady I kind of recognize from work because she comes into the library all the time. And it's not like somebody I've had an incident or a lot of discussion with. It's just someone who, you know, you see the people around. You're like, yeah, they're a regular. I see them around. So I bring these items up. I put them on the thing. And she laughs. And she's like, oh, is this for a prank then? And I looked down at the items because I didn't even really remember. I wasn't sure what she was talking about. I mean, obviously the Vaseline must have something to do with it, right? Something to do with jacking off or something. The rest of it makes no sense. I mean, I guess maybe I'm going to put these tiny Vaselines in the... It doesn't really matter what I think the joke is. The point is she was like, this is for a prank, right? And I was so surprised, not angered, not disgusted, just... surprised, because I did not expect someone to take my items, which were absolutely not. Here's the thing. I have bought many items that are for a joke. Absolutely. And if someone said, is this for a joke? I would have been like, you know it, right? This has happened many times where I've purchased items with that kind of idea. And not once has somebody said, you know, called it out and been like, this is for a joke. Never. And so it finally happens the one time I'm buying legitimate items. The one time. Now, this has got to be weird, too, because I feel like working at a Walgreens. A Walgreens is a great place to go. Let me tell you, as someone who has done this before, you need some, like, hemorrhoid suppository, right? That's a great spot to go. Because where you want to go is somewhere that you're like, I mean, the motherfucker in front of me is going to be buying a carton of cigarettes. The person behind me is going to be buying some, like, weird knockoff makeup, right? Who's going to be judging you at the Walgreens? Also, if you don't typically shop there a lot, you know, I think there's like three in town, and we don't have a very big town, so they're everywhere. So you're like, well, I can go a block away, go to the Walgreens I don't usually hit, and buy this shit. Because, you know, you just don't want to talk about it. You just don't want to run into somebody. It's a weird thing if you've never bought something truly embarrassing. It's like a throwback to buying condoms when you're young, which, like, you immediately get over when you're older, by the way. I bought condoms, like, once as an adult. Like, an adult when I was probably 30. And, boy, was that an underwhelm. I could care less. I was like, this would be super embarrassing when I was younger because it was late at night, and I was like, clearly this is for a reason, you know, to be used immediately. However, I could care less because I was just like, yeah, that's what they're for. That's the point of them. So I don't know. It would be nice. There's got to be a way in the sex ed for kids to sort of convince them or like demonstrate like, hey, don't be embarrassed by buying these. If someone makes you feel embarrassed for buying these, they're wrong. But if you've ever bought something embarrassing as an adult, there are all these little things you go through. Like, you know, now there is a good thing too, which is you can go to the self-check, right? So here are some keys. If you are going to buy something that you're really embarrassed of or you don't want someone else to see, here's what you do. Okay, number one, you go pick up something else first. And it's got to be something fairly large so that you can kind of like set it on top of whatever embarrassing thing you're buying as you walk through the store. As you walk through the valley of the shadow of humiliation, you will fear no evil because you've got a Mead 5-star notebook covering your hemorrhoid pills or whatever. So then you do that first. Then you go, you know, if you're going to get anything else, do it. But I don't recommend getting a bunch of shit. Because when you go to check out and everything, the more items you have, the more chance there is for this to fuck up. Now, here's another recommendation. Whatever embarrassing thing you're buying, buy twice as much of it as you think you might need. Because if you think you're going to need it, if you know you're going to need this embarrassing thing, the fewer trips you have to make to buy it, the better. Right? The fewer times you have to go to the store and buy it, the better. So just get twice as much as you need. And like this usually embarrassing shit, condoms, whatever, are expensive. But it's better. Just waste the money. Just consider it gone. Because trust me, you're better off. You're better off throwing away half a dozen unused condoms than you are having to go and make another embarrassing trip. So that's my other piece of advice. And then see if you can find a place that does have the self-checkout. Because holy shit. That's so much better. I mean, God bless you, Target, for putting that in there. It's got to be a nightmare. It's got to be a nightmare to work that thing. I feel like everyone thought, oh, self-checkout, the checkers aren't going to have any work anymore. But that's totally not true. Like, they basically just have to shepherd people through using that anyway. It's like the same thing. They're just not actually doing it themselves. So anyway, let's go all the way back. Oh, by the way, if anyone involved with the Preparation H company is listening, think you could like come up with a color besides bright yellow for all your products? I know that's kind of your brand at this point and whatever, but like, if it was just white, almost every box in the medicine aisle is just white. And if I saw someone with a white medicine-y looking box, I wouldn't think anything of it. I'd be like, oh, who fucking knows? It's probably like Mucinex or Advil or whatever. But you insist on using the bright yellow package. What else in there is bright yellow? Almost nothing. So there you go. That's my piece of advice slash desperate request for them, is to maybe rethink it. Maybe do us a favor and rethink it, boys. So anyway, I'm at the checkout, and she's like, this is for a prank, right? And I kind of froze and then was just like, something like that. Yep. You know, smiling like, wink, we're in on the joke together. All the while trying to figure out what exactly the prank was. And what a weird thing to do as a Walgreens employee. Surely you have people coming up to you all the time buying fucked up weird stuff. And it's not like, you know, if I was buying like a Vaseline tub and a carrot or something, it'd be like, this is kind of funny to put these together. Or like one time I had to buy some supplies for work. And so it was a very weird combo because it was like a bunch of candy and then like duct tape and something else kidnappy, like zip ties or something. And you're just like, boy. Does this, you know, if I'd been buying wiper blades for like a 1970s conversion van, that would have really completed the whole set there of what the fuck are you doing? So I don't know. I don't know what the joke was. I don't know. I'm curious to know. I mean, is it like you buy a little tub of Vaseline because you're like, you can use this to jerk off, but you have a tiny schwang? Is that the joke? I feel like it would require too much explanation. You know what I mean? I do think, you know, with these tiny jars of Vaseline, though, well, if your kid's jerking off, I would discourage them from using Vaseline if at all possible, because that's messy. That's not water-soluble, guys. Okay? And it can get in your hair, your pubes, and then it's just a grease. However, if they were going to use Vaseline, I think these tiny tubs are ingenious, because then you're like, all right, they can just have like a dozen of these tiny ones. And I'm not worried that we're all just using, I don't want to be putting on my lips the thing that someone's dipping into to use as a jack off lubricant of sorts, because I feel like that's just going to cause trouble. I feel like that's going to be, I don't like the idea of that. And I probably don't need to explain why, right? I don't think there's anyone out there who's just like, oh, grow up. You could just put it on your lips after your kid used it to jerk off. You know that when someone's using it to jerk off too, like they get a little bit, they get started and then they're like, oh, I'm going to need some more. I very much doubt that a lot of people are, you know, they get the exact right amount when they start and then they're, you know, they close the lid and put it away and just to make sure that they're not double dipping. You want to talk about a double dipping issue? Fuck chips and salsa. This is where it's really at. This is the real problem. One other thing, I did want to hang on just one second. I gotta pull up a internet website on my internet accessing computer, which I own. I found an interesting eBay listing the other day. This is an eBay listing for a book called Origins by Peter Dirk, who is me. Now, here's what seems to be going on. So I took a bunch of my books, almost everything I've got on Amazon, and what I did was I made them printable. So in other words, you can get a print copy of the book, and they're pretty cool, if I do say so myself. However, now they seem to be showing up on eBay. There's one seller here who has Origins somehow. And by the way, they're selling it for $6.08, which is like an extra dollar. And the product details are clearly just ripped off from Amazon. I mean, completely and totally. And I'm not really sure. You know, they did take the time to scan some of the interior pages, which is pretty fucking crazy. Like, seems like a waste of time to me. I wish they had just, you know, thought that through a little bit more. But for some reason, a bunch of the books are showing up on here. And I wonder if it's because I'm wondering if what some people are doing is putting them on eBay, and then what you could do is buy them from this person who would then order them and send it to you. Now, there's also UK versions. Someone in the UK, I think, has copies of every single book that I own, or that I've made, I should say. Maybe more than one. But, you know, like, Jesus fucking Christ. Save the Arcade for $7.29. That is a rip, my friends. That is a huge ripoff. I don't know. Is this like a whole cottage industry? I don't know. And if you were buying a book on eBay, wouldn't you first look on Amazon and be like, maybe I could just get it from Amazon? Because let's see. Save the Arcade in paperback on Amazon is $3.58. Available with Prime as well. There you go. So I'm not really sure what's going on with that. Not totally positive why that's happening or who thinks this is a good idea. I did really enjoy, however, the categorization of it. Let's see. This book was categorized in humor and entertainment, humor, love, and marriage. Possibly because, so the cover for the paperback version is like a symbol of a lady, like the kind you would put on outside a bathroom door. And then inside, though, there's like a white circle and there's a baby in her tum-tum. So I guess maybe, oh, it's also under sex. I guess maybe whoever put this up here interpreted it that way. I don't think I put it that way. It would be crazy for me to do that, to categorize something as a sex book, something I wrote as a sex book. Oh, it is. I am number 7,224 in the love, sex, and marriage category. Why? What was I thinking? What was I thinking here in this category? Like, I do not belong in this category at all. There you go. I'm in, like, a category with a bunch of, like, these little celebrity memoirs, you know, that you're just like, oh, my God, okay. Fire Down Below by Deborah Anastasia. Is this about, like, a urinary tract infection? Is she, like, the new Chelsea Handler? Praise for Fire Down Below. Dove Glitch is embarrassed about everything above her knees and below her belly button. When she has to fill a delicate, embarrassing prescription, the last thing she needs is a sexy-as-hell pharmacist behind the counter. Oh, this is like a romance, huh? Okay. Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Universally accessible New York Times bestseller. That seems like a, vaguely insulting, almost. Universally accessible. Oh, wow, that's a nice thing to say, I guess. That's a little like, sometimes people will review books at my work. This is like a thing we have to do. And they'll say highly reviewed or something. Or like this, I can't remember exactly how they put it, but basically what it looks like is they're saying a lot of people have read this book. And you're like, okay. I don't know how important this is. I don't know how much that tells me about anything, really. You know, I've got like five different versions of Mindy Kaling's books in here in this category. Jim Gaffigan. He's just not that into you. I hate that book. Steve Harvey, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Now, this sounds pretty good. I could be proud to be in that category. Oh, David Sedaris is in this category. See, this is legit, man. I'm a real writer now, huh? So, there you go. I guess this is like a commercial of sorts, but just basically like, do not fucking buy any of my stuff on eBay. That would be insane. I don't know. They're not even signed. I signed some of these. What the fuck? What the fuck, you guys? Okay, well, I think we covered all of our super important topics for the week. Stay tuned for next time when I think we're going to talk about some other stuff. I have a new invention that we need to talk about that I invented and one that I didn't invent. Also, I found out the difference between a pillow and a sham. So that's pretty crucial information for everyone, it turns out. So looking forward to seeing you next week.
What the future holds after a hurricane comes a rainbow. Maybe a reason why all the doors are closed, so you could open one that leads you to the perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will glow, and when it's time, you know, you just gotta ignite the light.